Hi everybody, Matt Bull here, MD of Action Coaching Loughborough, here with another episode of the Business Spotlight. Absolute pleasure today to have Finn Dursley from Breakspear Energy on this episode with us. How are you today, Finn?
Yeah, all good, thank you, Matt.
Excellent, excellent. So I know Finn. We worked in the same building for about a year or so. So I've got a pretty good insight into Finn's background and what he's achieved over the years. So I'm really looking forward to sharing with all the viewers a bit about yourself, Finn. But to get us started, just give everybody an overview of what you currently do, the business you do does, and your role within that business.
Yeah, so I'm Managing Director of Breakspear Energy. And at the moment, what we're doing is essentially energy efficiency improvements for both domestic and commercial customers. So that involves sort of looking at renewables, so solar panels, heat pumps, insulation, so wall insulation, floor, loft, everything. And what we mainly focus on, one of the areas in which we focus, is on a government scheme called ECO, where basically the government are trying to pump funding into the low-income vulnerable households and improve their energy efficiency performance. So we'll go in there, we'll do surveys, we'll make a list of all the appropriate measures that we can do, and then we can offer that close to fully funded or potentially fully funded to all these customers. So that's what we primarily focus on.
Excellent. And how did you, just tell everybody a little bit about how you got into this sector, I suppose, and how you started this business?
Yeah, so I started uni when I was 18, and halfway through my first year, I was going out a lot, drinking, and didn't have much money. So I wanted a job, and I applied to Lidl and Aldi and Waitrose as a cleaner on checkout. Got denied, didn't get accepted for anything. So last resort, my friend from Nottingham said he was doing this door-to-door sales job where he was selling these free boilers. And he said that he knew someone in Leicester doing it. So he said he'd put me in touch. 3 years later, he's now a business partner. But anyway, that's a long story. So yeah, I started doing the door-to-door sales, and we basically got paid £75 to do 3 afternoons of knocking each week. And very quickly, I started making sales and making some good money. And then I missed pretty much every lecture from then on with uni and started working 7 days a week. So that's kind of how I got into it, was through the door-to-door. And then we worked for a middleman, essentially, who was sort of the go-between between ourselves and the installers. And he was sucking out a load of the profit in the jobs. So quite quickly after that, I realized there was a bit of an opportunity to set up on my own as a sales agency. And I'd already brought on quite a few people that I went to uni with. So I said to those guys, I was like, look, you know, come with me. I can offer you more commission stuff. So that's how the first business started, essentially.
Great. And how did that business perform for you?
Yeah, it went very well. I mean, there was no fixed costs at all because they were all self-employed. So in the first 6-7 months, we did I think about 150k turnover, and I'd say about 80% of that was profit. So it was going very well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned about uni or lack of it. How did you balance?
I don't think I hit double digits in terms of lectures attended in 5 years. So but I think I've scraped through, fingers crossed, find out in a month.
Yeah. So you got the sales business, and then how did that evolve, or how did you end up with, you know, the Breakspear idea?
Yeah, so a big part of the business was through referrals. I built up quite a lot of really good connections in the Leicester area, and I had lots of people giving me loads and loads of referrals to friends, family members, and I started getting some messages from a few of them saying, you know, they wanted to help me out, but there were so many issues with the surveying quality. There was water leaks, gas leaks by this installation company that we were working with. And they said, look, we want to deal with you, Finn, not these people. And so it was a tricky situation for me because I know absolutely nothing about boilers or insulation or processes, but all these customers clearly, you know, they weren't happy with the customer service. And a lot of my business was relying on them giving me referrals. So I knew that I had to find a way to offer a better service to them, which is why I then decided the only way to do that was set up my own company, because I'd gone through about 10 different ten different installing companies at that point, and all of them were just a nightmare really to deal with.
Okay. Well, as you when you spoke about being at uni and, you know, having no money and, you know, going out a lot, you know, I can certainly relate to that. Do you remember a point where you just thought, I've got to do something about this? What was it within you? Because most people would just get the job. You know, they wouldn't actually say, I'm going to start my own business. Has that always been within you, do you think? Or was there a particular trigger?
I think it's two things. I think I've got a massive inferiority complex and a lot of insecurities where I feel the need to do impressive things. So I think that's a big part of it. And then I think also since 13, when I was at a boarding school, I set up a business selling shoes and clothes where I'd purchase them from America when they were unreleased. I'd ship them through my godparents so that I didn't have to pay the taxes. And then I'd sell them in England on Depop and stuff. So I did that for a bit, and I had my own online personal training business as well. So I've always been quite entrepreneurial, I'd say. Yeah. And I'm much better at working. Well, I think I'm a lot better working on my own than in teams. I feel more comfortable in that environment. Okay. I used to play a lot of tennis when I was younger, which is obviously a sport where you're alone and stuff. So I've been very much used to being in my own company and being self-reliant.
Yeah. What would you say, if you reflect on the journey from sort of 13 of having those businesses at school, what lessons do you think about starting businesses have you picked up that you could share with the viewers of this episode?
Being an entrepreneur, not a solopreneur, is my biggest thing. It's like all the time I have friends or I hear about people saying, I'm going to start this, it's going to be the next big thing or whatever, but no one actually starts. And, you know, I hear it all the time where people be like, oh, I had that idea and they just went on Dragon's Den and they stole it from me. But if that person hadn't gone on Dragon's Den, 10 years down the line, and you still wouldn't have done it. And that's the biggest thing for me, is I think I'm okay with risk. And the way I see it myself is that I'd prefer to fail fast than not make a decision at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest enemy, is not making a decision. You've just got to move forwards, and you learn either way. You know, if you fail, you've taken a big learning from it and you know what to do next time. If you succeed, well, you succeed. So that's probably my biggest learning for me, is just you've got to go and just do it. And a lot of people be against it and say, oh, you've got to plan this out more, you've got to think about it more. But I think you've just got to do, and then you think about it after.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The sort of definition of an entrepreneur is it's about creating things. People think just because they've almost got a business, they're an entrepreneur. And it's like, no, if you've got one business, actually, by definition, it isn't really being an entrepreneur. No. The word's used banded around a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't think, you know, I think my talent or what I feel I'm good at is in building things, is thinking about sort of commercial opportunities and working out how I can. I've got quite a holistic view. I'm very bad at breaking things down. I'm not logical at all, but I'm good at putting the pieces together and thinking about the bigger picture. And that's what I enjoy doing as well, is building something.
Amazing. So with Breakspear, you're in business with Rebecca, your mother.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah, so I, back in November, about October 2020, I set up Breakspear Energy. So we had the original sales business, CHB Connections, and then that came into Breakspear Energy, and I set that up. And very quickly, because I had about 20 guys across the country working for me at that point, we had a huge amount of leads coming through. And there's kind of a phrase in the industry, which is lead generators are like gold dust. You know, it's, you've got one shot with them, and if you mess up, they'll go elsewhere. So very quickly, we were put under a lot of pressure by all my sales guys to get these leads through the door, to process them and get them installed, because they're only paid on install.
Right.
So suddenly we went from setting up, well, I went from setting up this business to having, you know, 20 leads coming through a week, which is a lot to handle on your own. So we recruited our first employee, Elise, and then I think it got to a point where I knew that we were going to have to build a team very quickly. And because I was only 21 at this point, I was lacking a lot of experience in managing and finance and understanding processes, and that's where Rebecca came in. Basically, she was in between job roles, she was about to start a new job, and she's got a load of commercial experience, and she's, you know, very much in the detail and really good with processes and people. So it was kind of perfect, where I understood the scheme inside out, back to front. I understood how to generate the work, and she understood how to process it in the best way possible. And so, you know, we had a conversation about whether, you know, she could come into the business. And I think, yeah, I very much needed her. And it wouldn't have got to where it did without her coming aboard. So,
excellent. Yeah. How's that journey been? We speak to a lot of people who, with family members who are business partners, whether it be, you know, spouses or you know, parents and child. How's that been for you?
It's an interesting dynamic, because most of the time it's usually the child joining into the parents' business. So it has been an interesting dynamic. Because in a business, you're kind of equals, and then you've still got that mother-son relationship outside. So, well, you know, from the get-go, I got used to calling Rebecca Monday to Friday, and then on the weekend it was mum.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's definitely been ups and downs, and there's been a lot of conflict, because we bring very opposite but complementary skill sets. So I've always been the one pushing forwards, like, we need to move, we need to grow. And she's the one who's like, hold on, Finn, steady on, we need to think about this, need to think about that. So, but collectively it works perfectly, because I'd be making too many mistakes if it was just me. And without me, we wouldn't be pushing forwards.
Yeah.
So I think there's been that, it's been a good tension between the two of us to help the business grow in the right way.
Excellent. And you know, this sort of green sector, I suppose, if you want to call it that, is notoriously, I suppose, temperamental from a government perspective about what's available and when it's available. How's that panned out for you as a Breakspear?
Tough. Yeah, so we started operating in March, April 2021, was when we started trading. And then we did, you know, in our first year, we did over about 2.5 million in turnover. And then suddenly, when it came to April 2022, the scheme came to an end. And there was like a 6-month delay from the government ending that scheme to starting the next one.
Right.
And in that time frame, because our whole business, we only had one revenue stream, we had all these fixed costs. We had about 15 members of staff, office premises and everything, without anything coming through the door. So it came on as like a ton of bricks, really. And that was the toughest part over the last few years, was it wasn't the setting up and the learning, it was coming back down and having to let go of people that you really rate and staff members that you're really close with. And that's been really tough over the last 9 months or so. But the scheme is back up and running now. So we're trying to build back up, and we're hoping that some of those ex-members of staff we can bring back on, because we did have really good relationships with them. But that's been really tough.
What was it, do you think, during those times that almost kept you going, if that makes sense?
I mean, there's been so many times where I thought we'd have to close the business. But it's for me, it was realizing that there's other people in the industry making money. And if they can make money, I firmly believe that we can make money. That's what we've always said. If other people can make money, then we can make money in the industry because we believe we do it better. And not to sound big-headed, but that's our way of thinking. And so it was like I had to find that way of making it commercially viable. And it's taken me a long time, but I think we've got there now. But we've had to rejig the whole business model around, which has taken a lot of time, reset up whole new different processes. But literally from this week, we've started back up again and things seem to be going quite well. So fingers crossed, really.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, it's a great story. You've been on your own. You're still pretty young, aren't you? So a great amount of experience you've managed to obtain. What advice would you give? You know, I'd normally say to people, 18-year-old Finn, that's probably a little bit too soon. But, you know, what advice would you give the younger version of yourself now, reflecting on the journey you've been on?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, failing fast is just don't be afraid of failure and looking like an idiot, because the more times you fail, the less chance you have of failing again. There's more of a chance that you're going to succeed. So you've got to do the failing in order to eventually succeed. And the people that keep saying that they're going to do something and they don't do anything, they just stay in the same place. You know, if you want to have something that you've never got, you've got to do something you've never done. So I very much believe in that. I think as well, when I was younger and I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I used to brainstorm and think, you know, how am I going to create the next iPhone? You know, and I think it's realizing that you can be mega successful doing something that's already available, just doing it slightly better, making it slightly cheaper, making the service slightly better. Just that very marginal changes can have massive, massive impacts. So I think that was it for me, is I thought in order for me to be mega successful, I needed to invent something new. But here I am just installing boilers. So.
I mean, every opportunity everybody needs to achieve whatever they want is normally already. So on that note, Finn, an absolute pleasure to have you on this episode of the Business Spotlight. I thank you for your openness and your honesty. And I wish you all the best moving forward with Breakspear and whatever else you no doubt will achieve in your life and career. Many thanks.
Likewise.
Good. And to all our viewers, I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Business Spotlight. Many thanks.